I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley.
Glad to be here.
We've only played one game since the last time we spoke. That was on January 31st. The Racers went to Clarksville, took care of business, and got the season sweep on Austin Peay by a score of 96-88.
Yeah, it was a rare Friday night game, but it was moved to from a Saturday to a Friday to accommodate CBS Television Network, and it was a great game to have on for the league. Racers, again, got off to a quick start. They had Austin Peay down double digits early on, but here comes the foul trouble. They ended up having four players with four fouls in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. No one fouled out, but the first half, Coach Prohm, he has the rule, you get two fouls, you have to come out. Actually ran so thin, he had to put Jonathan Farrell back in briefly with two fouls. And by the time the 17-point lead had dwindled to 8 points at the end of the first half, and then in the early part of the second half, Austin Peay had momentum as well. It carried over, and they were able to take the lead briefly. The last time they held it was, I think, just a little over 12 minutes ago. They were up by three, but the Racers really buckled down. They played outstanding defense for the last few minutes of the game and rebounded just amazingly with a plus 13 on the boards, and came up with a big win. Jarvis Williams was magnificent, 28 points, 14 rebounds in the game. Just absolutely terrific. He had really stepped up his game. The first half, Dexter Fields hits four straight threes to help the Racers push out to the double-digit lead. And then Cameron Payne, who's a freshman, who by all rights wasn't even going to play much this year, more than likely, 12 points and 12 assists. First guy since Aubrey Reese back in 1999 to have a 12-assist game.
Puts the Racers at 8-1 in the OVC, atop the OVC West, and at 13-8 on the year. And Neil, tonight is the most anticipated game on the schedule. The Racers travel to Nashville on a nationally televised stage as ESPNU will carry the Belmont-Murray State game. First of all, let's talk about the stakes of this game, and then secondly, let's just get into the matchups.
Yeah, the stakes really are, I think, really huge for Murray State. If Murray can win this, that gives them a two-game lead on Belmont. They're up one on them right now, and there's not many to play. And for Belmont to beat the Racers for that top seed, providing the Racers win, they'd have to outplay them by three because the tiebreaker is head-to-head play. And head-to-head play, if it's a two-team tie, which we're assuming, would go to whoever wins this one game. They only meet once in opposite divisions. That's what makes it big. Belmont wins it. It's just the opposite. First of all, they'll tie the Racers, and then they're in a spot where the Racers would have to finish with a better record. And Belmont's late schedule, I think, is favorable for them, with one exception. They have the most grueling, and this isn't all in one road trip, but their last two games, they go to SIU Edwardsville. That's the northernmost trip, and they follow that up 3 days later with Jacksonville State, the southernmost trip. So it is it's a tough way to end the season, not to say that they couldn't win those, but the stakes are really high in this one, and both teams are having outstanding seasons.
And I guess the prize ultimately is the right to avoid Eastern Kentucky in the OVC tournament semifinals. The Colonel is widely regarded as, I guess, the third best team in the OVC.
Right, and that's another thing that we need to probably talk about is if the Racers win and Eastern Kentucky wins tomorrow night in their game as well. Actually, they don't play. They play Moorhead Saturday. Should Eastern win, they're tied with Belmont. So it's a dogfight to the end in that game. The Racers already have the advantage on them if it gets to head-to-head with Eastern Kentucky since they've beaten them one time. But, that's exactly what you're looking at, is trying to avoid playing Eastern Kentucky. And then another thing this year, the OVC semifinals, you of course, get the double bye if you're one of the top two seeds. That means you play Friday night. But that second game tips at 9 p.m. It's not a lot of rest. You know, the way it works is you have a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour game, get to the hotel, the team eats. By the time you get in bed, it's 1 or 2 in the morning. Not a lot of rest for that team playing that second game.
So I know you're looking forward to tonight's game as much as the rest of us. What are your keys to tonight's game versus Belmont?
Well, Belmont, of course, their key is shooting the three, getting to the free throw line. That's the main thing. They shoot the three extremely well. They have three players in that starting lineup, and Reese Chamberlain and J.J. Mann, Bradshaw, they can all knock down threes. They have a little size in Windler, who can play. He's at 6'9", but he can hit a three from the outside. They only play about seven players. They don't have much in terms of bench, but the bench they have is pretty good. They don't rebound particularly well, but they do all the little things you need to do to win games. They'll come up with steals. They'll force turnovers. And if you turn it over on them, they are lethal at turning turnovers into points. So I think for Coach Prohm, he'll tell them, look, take care of the ball. You have to be smart defensively. The whole Belmont, the scheme is to get you chasing him. I remember the first time that I ever remember seeing a Racer team play Belmont, and Rick Byrd was still coaching. It was a long time ago. We played at Chattanooga, and this was a young Racer team, wasn't very good. They beat us by 30 points, and they would drive the lane. Our guys would collapse on them, and they'd kick it into the corner for wide-open threes and hit them. Or we'd go cover them up in the corners for threes, and they'd dump it inside for wide-open layups. So that's all it was, layups, threes, layups, threes. They can't let them get into that kind of rhythm. If they do, it'll be very dangerous.
Another tough trip on the Tennessee swing is Saturday night at 7:30, Tennessee State. What do you anticipate happening in that game?
Well, you talk about trap game. This is it. They played tough at home. I know their record's 3-21 heading into games being played tonight, and that sounds like, well, that'll be a bunny. But they have a Patrick Miller, who's the most elite scorer in the league. They have one of the best big men in the league in MJ Rhett, and they're just good enough that when they're making shots, they can win. They went to Tennessee Tech and beat them, which was strange. The worst team in the league beat Tennessee Tech at Tech. Then Tech turns around two nights later and beats the best team in terms of overall record in the league in Belmont. It's how crazy college basketball can be. But Tennessee State, they're usually really good at home. I think they have a little bit of confidence coming off the Tennessee Tech win. And you know how it is. When you're having a bad season, you're looking down the schedule and go, you know, we could salvage it a little bit if we could beat Murray State Saturday night. And you know that's what's going to be in the back of their mind Saturday, especially if the Racers pull off a nationally televised win tonight.
The next time we talk, the OVC season will be pretty much figured out, I think. These next couple of games, very exciting for Racer fans. The voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, thanks for being back on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here, Tracy.